I come to you to talk to you today about getting close to the Lord, getting closer to God. It's God's invitation. Genesis to Revelation. It's the invitation of the Lord to get closer to me. Be honest with you, every one of us are living as a result of our closeness with the Lord. Each one of us, what's going on in our life, the battles that we're facing, the victories that we're winning, that doesn't mean that when you get close to God that battles end. But what that does mean, when you get close to God, you win battles. Because God fights for you. And so it's an invitation from Genesis to Revelation. The invitation is, come closer to me. Come close. If what you're going through, if you're still seeing people, honey, your eye elevation has got to come up. And you've got to begin to see what the real battle is. There is an enemy that hates you. And the more you love Jesus on the inside of you, the more he hates you. And the more he will continue to hate you. So the only hope that any of us have, man, is just hug close to Jesus. Hug close to Jesus. Because we are helpless in ourselves, but we are serving the helpful one, the powerful one, the mighty one, the strong one, the healing one, the delivering one, the restoring joy one, the victorious giving one. We're serving the mighty one. So whatever you're going through in your life, I come to bring you good news. The good news, Jesus can handle it. Jesus can handle it, whatever you're facing. But now, we're either in the proximity that we are to the Lord, is either allowing God to do that or we're hindering it. We have a part to play. Somebody said, oh, just pray for me. Listen, honey, there's one step, it's really more important than praying for me. And that's for me to begin to allow God to move in my life. Because all the prayer for me will not prevail for me if I'm hindering the will of God. If I'm resistant to what God is wanting to do in my life, all the prayer for me first has to change me. And then when it changes me, then it can begin to bring victory. I want to talk to you today about hosting the presence of God. I want to talk to you today about coming to a position in your life where literally God dwells in you to the point in when you're in the situation, God's in the situation. I want to talk to you today about what God meant all those years ago when he spoke into his people and said, I want to dwell with you. I want to live with you. I want to show myself strong in you. I don't know what kind of Jesus you may serve in. I know what kind of Jesus many of you are serving. You're serving a mighty, strong God. But the Lord may have to lift your elevation of him in your eyes for you to come to a place to believe and put your trust in God. Trusting in God is a sense of joy in the midst of any difficulty. If you don't have joy in the midst of that difficulty, you're not trusting God. It's the sense of having joy no matter what you're facing, whether it's family problems, home problems, marriage problems, kid problems, health problems, whatever it is. It's having joy in the midst of that situation. And God's first intervention into your circumstances is for God to change me or to change you. That's God's first intervention. I must become a conduit that will allow God to be miraculous in my life. And if I'm not allowing God to change me, change my attitude, change the way I feel, change the way I react, if I'm not allowing God to do that, then I'm literally plugging up God's channel of victory into my life. And no matter, even though God is almighty, God can't get into my life, if I'm refusing to be the channel for God to use. So I just want you to begin to look at your difficulty differently. I want you to begin to look at your problem differently. I want you to begin to look at your family differently. I want you to begin to look at your job differently. I want you to begin to look at your pastor differently. I want you to begin to look at your church differently. I want to help you this morning to have an attitude that will allow God to explode in your situation. That will allow God to be miraculous. To allow God to bring the needed intervention that you've been praying for, interceding for. In response to your prayer, God sent me here today. I believe that. There's been 24 hours of prayer that's going continuously before I arrived here today. 24 hours of prayer that people have been interceding that when I walked on this platform today that I would have your answer or I would have God's answer for your situation. And so I've come today and in response to your cry. God has heard your cry. But God has done all He can do in many of our situations with our situation. We must allow God to do affect us so God can begin to affect our circumstances. We're constantly crying out about our circumstances. God's constantly wanting to help us. And God's constantly wanting to do a work of God inside. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 2. Joe, you don't have this one. It says, Moses summoned all of Israel's lights and said to them, you have seen with your own eyes everything that the Lord did in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all the servants and to the whole country. God said, you have seen me move. Verse 3 said, oh, the great test of strength, the miraculous signs and the amazing wonders. God said, you've seen it. Then verse 4 says, but to this day, the Lord has not given your minds that understand, nor eyes that see, nor ears that hear. God said, I've done all these miracles and still you can't see and you can't hear. And then verse 5 said, for 40 years, I led you through the wilderness. I let your clothes and your sandals, they did not wear out. Miracles. I want you to know there's not a one of us today. Oh, we may be really complaining about today, but there's not a one of us that cannot say that God's been good to us. For us to be here, be able, God's been good to us. Amen. Verse 6 says, you ate no bread and drank no wine or other alcoholic drink, but He provided for you so you would know that He is the Lord your God. God has done all that in the past so you would know, so you could handle this situation differently, so you could look at this circumstance differently. God expects me to grow up and to build up in Him. Verse 7, when we came here, King Sihon of the King Eshbon and King Og of the Bashan came out to fight against us, but we defeated them. What this Bible says, God's done something so miraculous and God's helped us in our past. I'm here to tell you, before I was saved, God helped me. Before I knew Jesus to praise, God helped me. God has helped me. And then the Lord said God's intention for those miracles that He has wrought in my life, that I would begin to see differently, that I would begin to think differently, and that I would begin to feel about Him and about things differently. And then God says, so He's led me to this position, and God expects me to respond to this battle differently. God expects me to do that. And if I will, then God says, there will be a power that is able to defeat whatever that enemy that has raised his ugly head against you. Whatever the devil is trying to do, God sent me here to tell you today, God is well able to take care of it. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand. Because God's just good. We're going to talk about hosts in the presence of God. Okay, Joe, you can kind of go with me to the next verse. Sister Vashti, thank you. 3 years ago, you gave me a wonderful gift. And it was a statue of the carriers of the Ark of God's presence carrying the Ark of the Covenant in. And I tell you, my sister, for 3 years, I've set that in my office and I've looked at it, knowing that God was prophetically speaking to me for a particular time and a season. Well, I've had that statue in the Cameron Church now for several weeks because I know that's what God is calling each of us to do, to be carriers of His presence. Now, a lot of us are carriers of complaining, carriers of plagues, carriers of disease, carriers of a lot of things. But God says, I want to make you a carrier of my presence. I want to use you so that you can invade earth. And that's what the Bible says. Kingdom of God come, will of God be done. What? On earth as where? As it is in heaven. God wants to do some things here that looks like heaven. Somebody says, man, I'm living in hell on earth. You know, that's right. But God's wanting to do some things in each of our lives that will cause it to look like heaven. Amen. So we're going to host the very presence. Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. Now, Joe, you can go with me. Exodus chapter 20, or Barbara. Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 said, then have them make a holy place for me, and I will live among them. Notice what God said. Have them make a holy place for me, then I will live among them. God's purpose in all of our life, if we want God demonstrating His power, then I've got to make a place for God in my life. And not just a place. It's got to be a holy place that God's wanting. God's going to only live in a holy place. Now, and through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no excuses anymore. Back in the Old Testament, possibly they had some excuses. But in the New Testament, there is no excuse. Because what the blood of bulls and animals could not do, the powerful blood of Jesus Christ can do. Amen. So the Bible says, I've come to you to work in you to make me a place in your life that I can dwell there. So I can be there. So you never ever have to face any battle alone again. So you never have to work it out yourself. So you never have to figure out the best way out of that. Where God will be able to show up and do some miraculous things. Now, the Lord did that through giving what we call the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of His Presence. But really, it's just an Old Testament rendering of a New Testament truth that God's want. In fact, it's Genesis through Revelation. The Ark of the Covenant was simply a chest that was built. It was literally the very throne of God. And it was a box that literally contained failures. Now, I don't know about you, but my life has been a box that has contained a lot of failures. That's why the beautiful thing about the New Testament, there is no excuses anymore. Because the blood of Jesus can wipe away any sin. Wow. And though not only can the blood of Jesus wipe away sin, God's blood of Jesus can break any sin, break any difficulty. I tell you, I knew the blood of Jesus was strong when it could stop my wife from cursing. My wife and I got saved. We came to the Lord during the Jesus movement. And boy, she was an Irish lady, and she's still Irish spiritual lady. But I tell you what, when we came to Jesus, you know, I would literally some things changed in me. The problem is, her sins were outward, mine were inward. I could keep mine hid. It's a hard time. She had a hard time keeping hers hid. But through the process of time, our confidence became not in our ability, but it came in the ability of the blood of Christ and the power of Jesus. Some of you are still living under guilt. Some of you think that years ago you messed up and to a point to where God some way, even though you're come some type of stepchild with God. I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus wipes away our past completely. And the blood of Jesus gives us opportunity to face life in a totally different realm. Now, go to the next. Oh, yeah, right there. The Ark of the Covenant was simply what it was. It was a throne. It was a place to connect with God. It was a place where an altar of God where people were to able to talk with God whenever they desired. The problem is, during that period of time, it's just like it is now. Nobody really wanted to talk with God. Everybody wanted God's help, but nobody wanted to talk with God. There were those that did, though, and it was a simple box of it. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 2 said, he led them to Bala, to Judah, to bring back the Ark of the God, which bears the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubims. What the Ark of the Covenant simply was, it was a box of failures. It contained three different items. Three different items were all man's failures. It was the broken tablet of stone. It was the rod that budded. It was that manna that God had provided. Every one of those man had complained and failed over. And they were put in the box. But there was a part of that box, that the top, the lid. And that lid was called the mercy seat. I'm going to tell you what, if you will allow God, God will put mercy over every one of your failures. Over every situation, every circumstance, no matter what it is, no matter if it was 5 minutes ago, 5 seconds ago, or 5 years ago, God's power of mercy is able to come in and cover that failure. The thing about it is, you got to let your faith believe that. As long as you're allowing the devil to destroy you over your past, you're never going to have a beautiful future. You've got to let God come in and allow that mercy lid of His grace to come down over your box of failures. And then on top of that is what God said, that becomes His throne. It was called a mercy seat. It was a grace seat that sat down over my failures, but it was called a seat because a throne is where a king sits. And God would come and he would sit on it. That was the will of the Lord. And the reason that the ark was built and the manner was, it was a movable altar. Because God wanted his people to know, wherever you are, you need my altar. You need my throne. But not only an altar. Altar, so many times, we're crying out. I've watched people cry out. I've been pastor at Victory, for you that have visited with us, for 42 or 3 years. So I've been pastoring a long, long time. And in the process, I've watched people use altars for a lot of different purposes. I've watched people cry their heart out at altars. I've cried my heart out at altars. I've watched people come and say, oh God, will you just lift this from me? But every once in a while, you find somebody that understands what an altar is for. An altar is a place that I can come, and once and finally, I can bury my failures underneath his mercy. And then I can expect God to come and to sit on his throne. See, because a throne is for judgment. It's where a king declares righteous judgment. It's from a throne that a king declares power, orders armies to march, orders victories, makes provision in people's lives. See, that's what a throne's for. But so many of us, we stop with the box of failures. We never allow our box of failures to become a throne of power. And it's God's will that each one of us certainly bury our past at the altar of God. But one final time, we allow the grace and the mercy of God to settle that thing. So the next time that the devil tries to lift up the lid and tries to remind us of our failures, that we're able to make a stand. Somebody say, make a stand. And say, devil, I'm not allowing you to go there anymore. Because what God has forgiven, God has forgotten. My past is gone. No longer will I be under guilt. It has now become a throne for God's great power. Amen. And then our expectancy changes. Our expectancy from just God being a God that's able to forgive me, but now it becomes a God that is able to help me, change me, powerfully move in my life. It becomes a throne of God's great power. And that's the will of the Lord. The Bible says, go to the next. Go ahead, Joe. I've already talked about some of this. Keep on going. I'm going to get over there and skip. I want to talk to you. Exodus chapter 26, verse 34, powerful verse. He said, you should put the mercy seat upon the ark. A final time, you got to let God put mercy over your failure. It must be a place of our faith. Exodus chapter 25, verse 22 said, I will meet with you there. Where's God going to meet with you? It's above the mercy seat. It's not in the box of your failures. It's not in the memory of your failures. It's above the mercy. You must allow God to place mercy and grace upon your failure. And when that happens, God said, then I can meet with you, because the box of your failure has now become a throne of my power. I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit wants to do something right now in the midst of the people. There's some people here that you've allowed your failure to cheat you out of so much that God has for you. You've allowed the failures of your own life to be used by the enemy to become tools in the hand of Satan against your life. God never intended that. Somebody say redeem. Redeem. Somebody shout redemption. Because that's redemption. Redemption is when God takes my failures and turns it around and brings something glorious and powerful out of it. And there's not a one of us that doesn't have to have redemption. There's not a one of us that we do not have to be redeemed through the power of his blood. Mm. I love 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, where it says, if I confess my sin, God's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me. There's a power of forgiveness and there's a power of cleansing. There's a power of that God puts it in that box, and then there's a power of that mercy coming down upon it where that thing is cleansed out of my life. So many of us try to spend our life cleansing ourselves and instead of realizing God is the only one that has the power to do that. What God's expectancy of me is I will stay humbly before Him and allow His Holy Spirit to bring a conviction in my life anywhere He wants to. If He's going to be God in my life, the Holy Spirit is allowed. It's not because, well, she did this and got away with it. And it's not because He is able to do this. I allow the Holy Spirit to have that place of God in my life to where anything that the Holy Spirit wants to convict me of, that I am to respond. That's the power of cleansing. As long as I'm resistant to what the Holy Spirit is trying to convict me of, then the power of cleansing will have no power within me. The box of my weaknesses will never be changed to a throne of power. I just left out of the Kimmon Church and they were there preaching. You know what it was this morning? Take my mess and make it a message. Take my mess. Somebody say that out loud. Take my mess and make it a message for the glory of God. Amen. That's what the Lord wants to do. During the process that Lane and her big mouth was talking about the biggest mess that we'd had in our life. But take my mess and make it a message. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. New Testament talks about it like this. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 21. Therefore if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor. How many is ready to be a vessel of honor for God? Aren't you tired of being broken vessels? And God wants to do something beautiful and wonderful. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 said, you also as living stones, you're being built of a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. I mean, it's God's purpose for Him to do something beautiful in me and with me. Amen. And 1 Peter 2, 9 says, but you're a chosen generation. Somebody say, I'm chosen by God. I'm a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. That's what God has made me into. So God wants to change my box of failures into a miraculous power of God. God wants to make it into a throne. God literally wants to sit on my... I want to talk to you quickly this morning. I want to tell you about the various levels of God's glory that God wants to bring into our life. If you have your little message notes there with you, they're really listed out for you, but there's a space there because we want the Holy Spirit to deal with us and walk with us through whatever God is talking to us about. So as we walk through some of these things, allow the Holy Spirit to create a message for you. It's not what God speaks through me. It's what Holy Spirit tells you that we're held accountable for, and that is important. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2 said, then he commanded no one except... He commanded no one except the Levites. I want you to read this scripture with me. He said, then he commanded no one except the Levites may carry the ark of my presence, or the ark of God, ark of the covenant. It's called many different things. The Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of the Lord and to serve Him. How long? You need to circle that. You that think that God's just talking to an Old Testament church with Old Testament scriptures, you need to... When God said forever, I believe He meant what? And what God has just done here, He has begun to tell us the quality of person or the quality of people that God will allow to be a carrier of His presence. If you want to get the presence of God into your situation, into your life, then He's just qualified here. God has just qualified the person that He is going to allow to do that. Now, He's done it here by what He's calling the Levites. They may carry the ark of God. The Lord has chosen them. Everybody say God chose them. God has chosen them to carry the ark of the Lord and to serve Him what? Forever. So this type of person that God's qualified here, calling them a Levite, He said, this type of person, that they will minister to me and they will carry my presence forever. Forever. Everybody say forever. Amen. So God's making something eternal here. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the Lord's covenant and to stand before the Lord as his ministers and pronounce blessing. Now, the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament is this. Old Testament, it was physical blood. And the New Testament is spiritual lineage. In the Old Testament, to be a Levite, you had to be born in the Levitical priesthood family. In the New Testament, God has spiritual blood that flows through your veins. Amen. So God is offering to Israel. That's why in the New Testament it says God's will is for you to be that royal priesthood. It is the will of God that each one of us would come to that place of living that life of a holy priest to where that we will be qualified to carry the presence of God into any situation. Now, the miraculous, there are several things about it. I'm trying to jump through quite a lot of history here in just a few, trying to leap through it in just a few moments. One thing is that the Ark of the Covenant was a miraculous throne. Everybody say a miraculous throne. But God built it to be carried on physical legs. Now, God won battles, brought great victories, made great miraculous provisions through that throne that we call the Ark of His Presence. Anytime that man would get into a need, they would go into the holy place. They would be there at the Ark of God. They would bring their need before God, and God would miraculously. But God built that on physical legs. In fact, the Ark of His Presence was carried by two staves and four priests or four Levites toting it into every situation. Somebody said, if God was going to do something about this, well, God wants to do something about it. But the problem is this. God's got to get into that situation through your legs. God has to get into your circumstance through you. Although it's a miraculous box that would work miracles, God limited the movement of that miraculous into the area of physical legs that had to be carried in there. And that's why that for 40 years, this miraculous throne was able to take 3 million people through a desert and provide food for them every moment of every day, provide water for them in any times of thirst, would provide protection, won battles, defeated the enemy, overcame great difficulties through that throne. God's saying to us, if we will get the presence of God into our situation, if God could do that for 3 million people, certainly He can do that for your clan. Do you hear what I'm telling you? If God can do that miraculous movement for 3 million people, certainly God can do it to me. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the Lord's covenant. And simply, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, I'm just going to roll through some verses here to give you a little background and then to close with my thoughts, all right? But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with the inscription, the Lord knows those that are His, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. That is a New Testament believer. The New Testament. God's calling us to, what did He say? To build a holy place so God could inhabit it. God not only wants to forgive me my sins, God wants to break the power of my sin. God, the only way God's going to turn that box of failure into a throne of power is for me to allow God to do something on these physical legs that will allow the presence of God to come into my situation. Amen. I want to talk to you about manifestations of God's glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, given back as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we're changed in the same image from glory to glory. I want to talk to you about the five dimensions of God's glory. So many times we think if God was going to do anything, God would just do it. So many times we show up in church and we say, well, you know, I'm really expecting God to do something dramatically changing in my life. I want to talk to you quickly about five levels of God's glory. First level is His omnipresence. God is omnipresent. What that means, He's everywhere at the same time. And because of that, we can walk out this morning, we can walk out in the woods and we can see God's creation. We can see God through the birds of the flying in the air. We can see God at the trees that are there growing. We can find God, but that's the omnipresence of God. David said, no matter where you go, you can have that level of the presence of God with you. And the sad thing about it, that's what some people live with all their life. They never know God any more than that. They only know God as the God that's everywhere, but there's not only that level. There's also a second level to God's great glory or His presence, and I call it His revealing presence. And I remember when I was unsaved, and I could remember God coming to me, dealing with me. How many remembers that? Can you remember God dealing with you before you saved? Because not only was He omnipresent, but God became more real, more personal with us as God began to deal with us even before we were saved, and God would draw us to God. We were drawn to the Lord. But then there comes a next level of God's presence. Not only would He's a revealing presence, but He's indwelling presence. And that indwelling presence is when we have finally found Jesus real in our heart and God begins to dwell inside of us. And all of a sudden, that omnipresent God now becomes present, living inside of us. And we have, for the first time in our life, we have an opportunity to have a personal relationship with God. And I want you to know that is a wonderful thing. I remember what it felt like the night I received the Lord. I don't know if you had any real change in your life, but I did. I remember the night that I knelt in front of that television set and Billy Graham was preaching. I remember how broken my world was. I remember how gone my life was at that time. But I remember kneeling in front of that television set and Billy Graham said, if you would like to receive Jesus, then pray this prayer. And just as the little broken person I was there that night, I knelt in front of that television set. And I was led in one of the simplest prayers where probably millions of people across this world, just like me that night, prayed. But something miraculously happened in me. The God was no longer of God out here. Not only was He a revealing God to draw me to God, but now that God had moved in. Now, I was a total reject. But I knew that night, my life had changed. I didn't have the background behind me. I wasn't raised in church. I wasn't raised around that area. And so it was a total. But that night, miraculously, I knew that something had changed. I want to tell you what. If some way you've walked an aisle, or some way you've shaken a preacher's hand, or if some way you put your name on a church roll, and you didn't have that meeting with God where the God that's omnipresent out here becomes that indwelling presence of God inside you. I'm going to tell you what. Walk the aisle again. Do something. Make sure that you have that presence of God. That God that's just omnipresent, that's God of this world, the God of creation, that deals with you and becomes that revealing God. Now that God becomes the indwelling presence of God inside you. Christ in you, the Bible says, is the very hope of our glory. Amen. Then the fourth dimension of God's presence is God's flowing presence. Now, not only does the Lord indwell us at the moment that I receive the Lord, but Keith, God allows me to experience a measure of Him, the Bible says, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That when a person becomes saved, and then they've allowed, and we've been on that journey here for a number of months, where we have been desiring more. Everybody say desiring more. We've been desiring more of God. And some of you have desired God enough. You break through whatever wall, whatever hindrance, whatever insecurity, whatever it was. You broke through and you found the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And then it becomes a flowing. Mike, the Bible says it becomes a river. All of a sudden, that indwelling presence that lives inside me that allows that personal relationship now becomes a flowing, powerful river. Mike, I remember that first experience with that too. I remember all of a sudden that sense of indwelling presence that I got when I got saved. All of a sudden, that presence increased, came to the power of the Holy Spirit filling my life, and then it became a river. See, some of you are just concerned over what you're going through. I'm going to tell you what, when you connect with God through the power of His presence to where it becomes a river inside you, honey, life will never be boring again. Life will never be just about you again. Life will never be about what just you have need of again. Something about when the power of the Holy Spirit comes inside there, it becomes a river. You can't stop it. You can take any mighty river and you can try to dam it up. You can try to put as many stops in front of it, but it can't stop the river flowing. Some of you are determined. I'm going to get free and nothing's going to stop me from being free. I'm going to get filled and nothing's going to stop me from being filled. And I'm going to tell you what, unless you've experienced God in that way, then you're missing a whole big part of the wonderfulness of God. Then you're not trying any longer to see what you can do and get by with it. There becomes this gushing inside you. You don't care what you have to uncover. You don't care how many times you walk to the altar. You don't care how many times you have to lift your hands in praise and worship. None of that matters because it's a powerful river that's flowing inside of you, and that river won't quit. And then all of a sudden, your problems are no longer your issue of life, because you found a river. There's a river inside of me that can bring every desert to life. There's a river inside me that can make a forest out of any barren ground. There's a river inside of me that has healing power for the whole world. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you what. When you come connected with the presence of God like that, it's where He's a river inside you. Honey, you just dare the devil to stand up in front of you. I had a meeting last week. See, I believe in deliverance. I believe that the enemy tries to stop. Had a young lady, probably 22 or 23 years old, came into my office. And she had called prior and said, I really need deliverance. I just need to come talk to someone. So I said, young lady, come on then. She came up there and in the prayer with her mom. They came into my office and she said, well, Pastor, let me tell you what's happened. Said, I veered away from what God had directed in my life. And said, all of a sudden, I began to get these chains in my life. Bondages begin to set up. And she said, now it's gotten so bad that the devil manifests himself in my life and said, there is this creature or this person that is constantly with me. And said, that person tells me, don't tell anybody else I'm here. What it was? A demon had begun to put that young lady's life in bondage. I don't care, honey, whether you believe it or not. The devil's your problem. Some of you think God's your problem. God, not your problem, baby. God's good to you. Your problem is the devil. I sat in that office with that young lady, and we sat and we was conversing about the things of God. I was amazed. I was amazed, Ben, but then all of a sudden, she began to move into anxiety. All of a sudden, she came to a place she couldn't hardly breathe. I said, honey, hold it. Let's allow the Holy Spirit. She said, you don't understand. She's right over there. I said, honey, who's over there? I said, this demon that comes to me in the middle of the night that tries to stay with me is right here in this office with you. Well, she was expecting me probably to give her some kind of psycho-mico kind of stuff. I said, darling, I believe it. See, God said the devil came to Jesus the same way. Amen. Jesus was fasting and praying, and the devil showed up. So I said, we're going to have some fun, darling. When that happened, she became so fearful. I mean, she was anxiety. She was hyperventilating. She was just so afraid of that entity that had come in there. I said, honey, we've been having some fun. I'm going to show you how to handle the devil. So I began to speak to that entity. And I began to tell it all, not that it had any power. See, some of you are just convinced that the devil's got so much power over you in your life. Some of you are afraid that he's going to carry you down, carry you out, wipe you out, honey. You got to understand that when you get the presence of God in you like a mighty river, it's unstoppable. It's unstoppable. So I said, we've been having some fun. I'm going to show you how to handle that. So I began to talk to that thing, and I began to say, I want you to know. I don't blame you for showing up here today, because you're bound to want to see somebody happy, because your life is so miserable. I said, you will never have the chance of knowing God. You will never have the chance of being touched by God. And all of us in this room have been touched by God. And I said, and so I just went on, just demonstrating. I'm just telling, because the Bible says that those demon powers trying to behold what's happening in a believer's life. So I began to just tell that demon spirit how beautiful my life was and what it felt like to have God in my life. And all of a sudden that girl starts saying, she's gone! She's gone! She's gone! She's gone! I say, honey, next time she shows up, you start telling her how great your God is. Don't allow the enemy. Amen. Then it becomes the last one of degree of God's presence I want to talk to you about. There is something even greater than God being that river inside of you. The manifested presence of God. Now, the manifested presence of God is that simply what it says. It's the presence of God that comes in ways that it's manifested in the area that you can detect it, that you can feel it, that you can see its demonstration, and you can see its power. Now, the manifested presence of God was a fire that burned day and night. It was a cloud that guided them for 40 years. The manifested presence of God was when one little guy's with sack lunch could feed 5,000 people, Larry. The manifested presence of God was when the cripple couldn't get up and walk, and Jesus said, rise and walk. The manifested presence of God is when the miraculous begins to move in. The problem is we're way back down here on some other level of glory of his presence, and we're desiring to see the manifested presence of God. I don't believe there's nothing anymore that brings any more delight to the heart of God than for him to be able to move into your situation and to manifest his glory for you. The Bible says the reason God loves to do that is because they can see God's love for you. See, as long as it's just God's indwelling presence, I can try to talk somebody into Jesus. I can try to convince somebody Jesus is good. But they're going to have to take my word for it. Because the indwelling presence of God is in here, see. But if I will allow my journey with God to get richer and richer and richer, God's bringing us to a place to where the manifested presence of God. And this is what God says that he desires for you to be a carrier of. Not only does he want you to be a carrier of his indwelling presence, and not only does he want you to be a carrier of his flowing presence, his river flowing passion, God, but God wants you to come into a place with him, for the manifested presence of God. And the first place God wants to show up is in that deepest need in your life. Some of you are convinced that this thing came to destroy me. I'm here to tell you, honey, it didn't come to destroy you. It came to bless you. that deepest seated need that's there in the midst of your life? Number one, God didn't bring it, but God allowed it. You got to know that. God allowed that hole to be there. Because God's almost like a little kid jumping up and down. Saying, I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it. I can change it. Now we're closing this morning by simply saying this. There's some of you that need to allow that failure box to get a lid to it. There's some of you that's where the presence of God cannot begin to manifest in your life in any greater way until you deal with that past and you allow God to forgive it and you allow it to be gone. I want to just take just a quick minute. I want you to, if you would, focus on me just for a quick minute. We've got about 6 minutes left. I want you to focus on me. If you're here this morning and the devil harasses you over your past, I want you to stand with me. I want us to put the lid on it for good. I want to seal it so God can carry you forward in this great, wonderful way. Any others want to stand? Any others need to stand? Where the devil deals with you is over your past. The devil harasses you, tries to steal your faith away. Honey, I know. That's where the devil harassed me for years in my life, was over my past. But the Lord. But the blood. But the power. Won't you simply bow your heads? If you stood right there, won't you simply bow your heads with me? Won't you pray this little simple prayer? Won't you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you know I messed up. You know I really royally failed. But God, you're a master at covering, at forgiving, and at cleansing. Lord, I'm going to believe right now that your blood is stronger. Somebody say that out loud with me. Stronger than all that the devil did against me. So in Jesus' name right now, Lord, I ask forgiveness. And I receive by faith. Now, in your heart, I want you to let the Lord put the lid of His mercy on that box of you. Go ahead and let Him do it. Just right there in your heart, say, Lord, I'm going to let you take your grace and your mercy. I'm going to let you put it over that box of my failure. Now, Lord, I'm going to handle this in faith. I'm not going to let that box be open again. Every time the devil tries to lift a corner of it, I'm going to tell that rascal, that life is gone. That past is gone. Forever, 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 forever. Now I want you to take your little pause. I want you to reach him right up toward the Lord. I know it's uncomfortable. It may be odd. Some of you, but go ahead and do it. I want to say, Jesus, now I'm ready for your future that you have for me. The enemy chained me to my past. But you broke the chains, 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 Lord. I receive in Jesus' name.